Glad you're here today. I love being in worship with you. If you're not okay today, I want to tell you it's okay not to be okay today. We've had three members of this family here that have gone on to glory this week, in the Thomas family, in the Betts family, and then in our family, my dear mother-in-law, Mary Louise Gilbert, went on to be with Jesus early Wednesday morning. And this is my first time to get up in front of you here at Hillcrest and know that she's not sitting at home listening. So it's a different morning for us. Many of you are dealing with different things too. Many of you are dealing with illnesses, with loved ones who are struggling, news that is difficult. There are a lot of families that are taking care of people who are sick and hurting. Many of them are not able to be here because they are homebound or shut in. And many of them do listen in. They listen in or they watch online so that they can feel and be a part of this church. And that's why I say this morning to those who are hurting today, you are amongst friends and it is okay if you're not feeling okay today, because Jesus is here. And He loves you and He cares about you so deeply. And I want to say a prayer for us right now, but especially for families that are hurting, or loved ones who are ailing, or for those caregivers who are struggling to find the energy and strength to keep doing the good works that they are doing of nurturing the sick. Would you bow with me? Father God, we are so thankful to be with your church today. And we are mindful of struggles. We find great strength in knowing that you are not a God who turns away from our weaknesses, from our failings, from our sins, from our death, Lord. You come to us for such things as this. God, you know the hearts that are heavy as we're here to worship you today. God, I pray you touch them right now. God, we thank you for the message of Jesus Christ on the cross. All over the world, life is found when we look to your Son, who gave himself as an offering for us so that we could see your love and know you for who you truly are. Let this be where our life is found today, Father. Let us lean on each other and find this strength as only you can give. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. One of the things that I always enjoyed, my mother-in-law would be sitting at home, and I need to say thank you too. I forgot to say this. Thank you to my church family, especially there are ladies who have taken time every Sunday. You might have a friend who's normally sitting by you who has been gone occasionally on different Sunday mornings, and it's possible that she could have been at my house sitting with my mother-in-law, because we always had someone sitting with her. And we are indebted to your love and to your care, those of you who did that. So thank you. And I always look forward to going home after church and checking in on my mother-in-law and asking her how it was. You know, how was it? Well, she would tell me how the sound was, or she would certainly let me know if it was too long, right? Sometimes. But she was always so encouraging. And it's a testament to the Spirit. It's a testament to the reality of a living God that is stronger than sickness and pain, stronger than difficult days, so that when you look at people who are suffering, you can still see a light and a life and a spark. So I want to encourage you this week, if you have somebody in your life that you know could probably use a hug or a word or a phone call, that might be your crossroad this week. That might be the mission or the path that God's laying before you. And so if that is the case, I just want to point you there right now. If there's somebody in your life, go to them, hug them, love them, tell them that you thank God for them. Hear this word of the Lord as we look to the cross again this morning from the Gospel of Mark, and I'm just going to read this to you, the Gospel of Mark, starting in verse 16. Listen to this with fresh ears this morning. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled their insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he cannot save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness covered the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Some ran, filled a sponge with vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." There's a deep irony in the Gospel of Mark, and it has to do with hiddenness and mystery. In the Gospel of Mark, we have this theme of Jesus continually telling those that he heals and his own disciples not to tell his true identity. In chapter 1, Jesus casts out a demon who's crying out who he really is, and he makes him be silent. Time and time again, we hear about a certain reputations about who people think Jesus is. Last week, we looked at how Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they responded with a variety of answers. Some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets, some say a teacher. And Jesus asked the disciples to answer the question as well, "Who do you say that I am?" And even in their declaration and confession, still there was a cloud and a mystery, an unknowing about the true identity of Jesus. But when we come to the scene of the cross, we discover true witness. And it's not from one of the 12. It's not from one of Jesus' best friends. It's not even from an Israelite. It's not from a Jew, God's own people. But at the moment when Jesus dies, the centurion who is standing at the foot of the cross sees how Jesus died. And Mark says, when he saw how Jesus died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." The witness at the cross was a soldier, one of his own executioners, one of his own captors. When he sees Jesus, this transformation takes place to be able to recognize him for his true identity. It's an aha moment that happens in Mark's gospel. Mark tells us from the very first verse, this is the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. But it's not till we come to 1539 that anyone else is able to make such a declaration with clarity. Because you have to see Jesus here, not the healer, not the preacher, not the miracle worker, but the one who dies on the cross for humanity. In just a little bit, one of our elders, Neil Coates, is going to share with us about our missions programs here and the different places where we're going to be sending people this year to be witnesses of the Messiah, to be witnesses of the Son of God. But it all begins with the fact that they likewise have had that moment, have had that breakthrough of seeing Jesus for who He truly is, the one who died for our sins. Because it's in this moment that God's love is poured out and revealed. Here's how Scripture records this. And the words that are chosen are interesting. In Romans 10, which was read for us just a little bit ago, you hear these words and you hear how this is a cry for all the nations, for all the world, and for all people. The cross is for everyone, and it's the message for the world. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one on whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And it's coming here from the text in Isaiah 52. And in verse 10 really encapsulates this. Isaiah 52 is where Paul got that beautiful, how beautiful statement. But it's in the 10th verse of that text where once again we learn, who is this for? Where is the crossroads leading? Where was Jesus going? What was His target and what was His aim? Who are the people that He cared about and whose lives were He wanting to save and transform? And it was prophesied so long ago, and Isaiah 52 and verse 10 states it wonderfully. The Lord will bear His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. The witness of the centurion, the day and the moment that Jesus dies, becomes the witness that God is longing for the world to see, because it's for the world and for all peoples in the world and for all enemies in the world and for all hateful in the world and for all violent and for all broken and for all sick, and you name it, we all find ourselves standing at the foot of the cross beholding the God who is reaching out for us with His salvation and with His love. And He does it through His Son who is broken for us. There's deep irony when we stand at the foot of the cross and we hear the way that God describes this scene. God describes it in this way. How beautiful beauty in this tragedy. Beauty in this pain. Beauty in this sinless one who has died to bring life and healing into our world. How beautiful. How beautiful is our God, church. He takes the most dark moment and in the most painful moment creates beauty. And those who become witnesses of God's salvation brought about on the cross become cross bearers, become those who are now called into the story. So that when you come to that realization, your life is going to be turned upside down, and those who engage you likewise will be affected and will be impacted, because this love of God that comes through the cross is so overwhelming that you cannot look at life the same, because you can't see God the same, and how God sees the world will no longer be the same in your own eyes. Because God has bared His arm for all the nations so that all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And God says it's beautiful when your feet are those that are going there and sharing it. Neil's going to come up here at this time and share with you some of the great news of some beautiful feet that are going to be traveling all over the world this year to share the message and to witness to Christ who died for us.
So how are we going this year? I have a series of slides and some information to share with you. And then after this information, I have a video, and then we're going to have a blessing time for the persons who are going out this year on what we call Send the Light, short-term missions here at Hillcrest. And the first place that I would start this morning by letting you have a reminder and then letting others who aren't in our number is with our website. And if you go to the Hillcrest website and look at the mission section, this is what you'll see. And it has a list of current mission sites, and it says that we at Hillcrest have been involved since since our creation here over 50 years ago, with a lot of mission works around the year in southern Africa and in Europe. But we're also involved in some short-term mission efforts, and that's what especially I want to visit with you about in my few minutes this morning. On the right side of that website, it says history. And so this next slide has a list of places that year-round this congregation has been involved in, from Switzerland to Benin to South Africa. And that's helpful information if someone wants to know how we spend our budget money and how the missions team works with missionaries throughout the year. But again, what I'd like to, if we'll go to this next slide, is to think about this next-to-last bullet, the Send the Light mission points. And also, if you're new here at Hillcrest, or as a reminder to us all, today is a special day, because as we look forward to April 8th, when we have our special collection for these short-term sites, I'd like for us to keep this in perspective of what we do throughout the year. So let me say a few more words about this one particular slide as a reminder. Year-round, the Hillcrest Missions team works with you and missionaries we have on the field to reach out to refugees in Austria, people who have come from Africa and from the Middle East. And we have two persons there who, on the street and in three assemblies every Sunday, reach out to those refugees. Just 2 months ago, we sent a couple here from Hillcrest to the second largest city in the Philippines, to Cebu City. So we're still helping the Kalaris as they get their feet on the ground, and they're doing well. We have a person here in Hillcrest who reaches out to four countries in East Africa, Phil Palmer, and uses World Bible School to tell the good news there and to hold two seminars every year. Several years ago, Brian and Sandra Davis were instrumental with some other persons in creating a mission point in northwest Zambia. And now there are 17 churches there that stand on their own, and we still have contact with them every year in several different ways. And then for 50 years, this congregation has been involved in training preachers in East Zimbabwe at a city called Mutare, and we continue to do that and help that school. And then last, the last item here is World Bible School, and Paula Leverett and her team of more than 20 persons here at Hillcrest grade lessons and encourage persons in a variety of countries every week. And that's certainly something that you can also volunteer to do. But let me go now to this Send the Light mission points and focus our time here. Last week, you may have picked up a brochure that looks like this, and we have more of them in the lobby, and there is a map of the world on this. And I have a series of slides now I'd like to tell you about these particular short-term efforts that are going to be occurring. In fact, they've actually already started. We've had one that's gone to Tanzania. And so this next slide has a few of these listed, and we'll just go slide by slide here because I want you to know. Every April, we have this collection. We call it Send the Light, appropriately. And this particular year, we will have 55 persons from Hillcrest, and by my calculation, that's about 7% of our congregation who are going somewhere. And they approach the missions team and they say, hey, I know about a mission work in a particular place, or maybe I'm a former missionary, I'd like to go back to visit. And we visit with them, and we're interested in how it builds up churches and builds up Christians. And then we inform these persons, okay, April is coming. We're going to tell the congregation about what you're proposing to do. And we'd like to provide half of your airfare, if at all possible, and some extra money for persons who direct these and organize them, and some nurses for our medical missions. And so that is our annual goal that we provide, if possible, for these members. And so this next picture that you'll see in front of you has a few of these, and we'll proceed through this list. And I've organized these alphabetically for us, so we'll start with Austria. But they also go to Germany, because several of these persons go to more than one place when they're already there, and they are efficient with their mission dollars. And Larry and Pam Sullivan and Susan Green, who's a counselor, are going to be doing some teaching and some one-on-one with refugees who have very difficult problems, and they will do that during June in both Austria and in Germany, and will do some preaching and some teaching. John Fuchs and Clady Varner will be going to Austria and Slovakia for a different purpose. They're going to hand out some of the quality materials that John and Jackie prepare in their house every week, and they send to different places around the world large packets of seed sowers information with pictures and stories on the back that are Bible class materials in a variety of languages. They're going to distribute some of those. They're going to distribute some solar players that Sunset School of International Studies has prepared for persons who need to know the gospel, and they're going to attend another refugee seminar while they are in Europe. Phil and Paula Sullivan are going to go on another Let's Start Talking program, where they use the Bible to teach people how to speak English. It's an effective program. They're going to be going to Belize in November. The missions team is also very pleased to support Kilnam Cha again as he visits underground churches in China, and as he takes ACU students to South Korea and also to Japan to work with the Church of Christ University there. I have a couple of pictures. There's one from a prior year of Paula studying the Bible with a student, and I believe I have another picture here of Kilnam with ACU students this past year, and of course they touch many scores of lives while they are in Asia. In Honduras, Kelly Moore is going to use his talents to help with leadership and building up a school that is located there that he has contact with. And then the Merritt family is going to India. They have personally been involved in a mission effort called Sanctuary Ministries for a number of years, and at the end of 2018, they will be returning to work with Sanctuary Ministries and its work with teaching and helping orphans and widows. Elaine Palmer is going to join her husband in Kenya and Tanzania and Uganda on a World Bible School campaign this summer. And then another complete family. We have three families, parents and children, who are going places this year. The Garcia family will be returning to a place that they were missionaries in Mexico, and they will be visiting two cities there and doing a campaign this coming summer. Terry Brown will be returning to New Zealand, and he will be teaching future preachers this September. And so we look forward to his going on that trip. So I have a picture here of the Garcia family when they've been on the field in the past. And in a few minutes, Patrick will be one of the persons who addresses us in a video. And then here is a picture of Elaine teaching other women in East Africa. So a few more of these to tell you about. Mariana Long is going to two places this calendar year. First of all, she'll go to Ireland for a couple of months, right at 6 weeks, and she's going to work with some ladies at a church that she has a long relationship with. And so that's been effective in the past, and I know that will be again. And I know that many of you are aware of the ministry called Come Before Winter, which twice a year in different parts of the world reaches out to missionary wives and to missionary leaders and gives them a time of refreshment. And Mariana is one of the leaders in that. She'll be going to Spain. Connie Adams and Carol Horton and Peggy Goodwin and Janice Watts just recently went to Tanzania, and Janice has been there before, and she's told us about the great efforts at an orphanage that's next door to a church that's being constructed, and persons are being reached there just outside of Arusha, Tanzania. And then two things about Ukraine. Kay Istry approached me a few months ago and Diane Wilson and said, we'd like to go to Ukraine and reach out to the orphans that the Morrow family lives with and are shaping for the future and to develop a relationship with them. And there are several persons, I've mentioned complete families who are going on mission trips this year. We have several persons who have lost a spouse, but yet they are still wanting to go, despite their situation, to tell others about Christ. And so we want to facilitate that if at all possible. So they are looking forward to going to Ukraine in July and August with the Kobaruvius family. We're going to assist the Moros with furlough at the end of the year. And then I have a picture or two. There's a picture of Janice and Carol as they work with orphans this past month. And then here's a picture of that Ukraine team that is very excited and preparing to go to Ukraine and learning what they need to do to be successful. And then my last list, forgive me for the long list, but again, it's 55 persons. Our two largest mission efforts again this year are in Zambia, and the first involves our high school youth and several adult sponsors. Our high school seniors themselves are teaching. It's always a good thing when you go and you build a cinder block building or something and you help at a mission point, but they are actually teaching in a high school retreat for members of the Kayande tribe, and there will be several hundred from across the kingdom who come and will stay for right at a week, and they will have these lessons taught by our Hillcrest high school seniors, and that is a great thing. And then for just over 20 years, Hillcrest has been a leader and been a participant in Zambia Medical Mission, and this year we have 14 persons, you can see their names there, who are involved in going most of July to serve about 15 or 16,000 persons who never see a doctor or a nurse throughout the year. And here they get a cup of cold water and they get their day of dignity and they are reached out to. And every year there are about 100 baptisms or so that result from that. And over 300 churches have been created. The missions team is happy to also recommend to the congregation $10,000 of medicine that would be a part of that effort, because it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars of medicine, some of it donated from various corporations, to make that medical mission come true. And then in Zimbabwe, at the Mutai School of Preaching, we have four persons who are going in June to work with the staff, the teachers, the board of directors, and especially the students on campus, oversee some renovations, and then be involved in a retreat with them. So I think I have a picture, yes I do, of Bryn Martinez, who has been before on Zambia Medical Mission, and here she's examining a patient's ear, and there's Otis Wright, who's assisting a lady as she is needing assistance in standing up. So these are some representative pictures, but certainly the names of these persons who are, you know, in the pews with us, who are going to be going different places this year. How then can they call on the one they have not believed, and how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So I'd like to invite the elders to come to the front. And as they come to the front, I'd also like to invite the persons going on these short-term mission trips to also come to the front. Will you join me in a prayer, please? Father God, you have been watching and guiding for months, helping these persons prepare to send the good news. We pray for safety. We pray for the personal growth of the campaigners. We pray for receptive hearts. We pray for us in Abilene as we support our fellow Christians away from us for a while. Lord, we pray today for these persons before us, able and willing to serve you by telling others in foreign places. We thank you for their station in life, whether young or old, experienced or their first trip, whether single or in families. We're reminded again of the words you give us in Romans, that you call us to send, to help others to hear, and to help others with their belief. Thank you for the feet of these Christians from our Hillcrest family, whose beautiful feet can take good news to persons in places near and far. Thank you, Lord, for blessing these mission efforts. All this we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Just thinking of the word beautiful as we had those words, that update shared from Neil, and then getting to see the great men and women that are going this year. But I want to tag on to something that Kay Istry said in that video. You probably caught what she said. She wasn't always able to go for different reasons. She wasn't always able to leave our community here. And she said, we made our home our mission. I think we all need to hear that. We need to be sending. And we also need to listen to God sending right here in our town as well. It may be that God has sent you here this morning. Maybe that God is urging you not to walk away from here today without coming to our shepherds and having a prayer together, or coming and receiving the affection and love of the Lord through a brother and sister in Christ that are here this day. Or if you are one who has yet to kneel to Jesus as Lord at the foot of the cross by believing on Him, confessing His name, being united, and having your sins washed away in baptism, we're here as a people of God to proclaim the message of Christ crucified and living in His church and in this world today. If you have a need to respond, if God is sending you here today, we invite you to come right now. Let's stand together as we sing.